All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, "You will own nothing and you will love it." And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have, access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position, really for the first time in our history. We're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready-Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it, Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com, or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com, for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809.
Welcome, everybody, to the CommonSenseShow.tv and Heroes. This is the Doug and Dave Intel Report with Doug Thornton, former Marine contractor, DHS, and yours truly. You know my background. I don't need to go into it or embellish it. So the two of us put our heads together, and we try to connect dots, and so far we've been doing a pretty good job, and we've got some dots we're going to connect tonight on the show, and they're disturbing. And it's something that I've reported on for years, and not specifically to COVID, is that'll come up, but specifically to incarceration for a medical condition. And then I started covering this with Celeste at the beginning of the pandemic, and we have documentation standing by because there's been new occurrences of the threat to incarcerate you if you're non-compliant or deemed non-compliant for medical reasons, but it won't be medical. You'll be a political prisoner. Doug, this is very sobering because I've always feared that the FEMA camp experience was definitely coming to America, that we would have concentration camps. And the time is right. So where do we want to start with this?
Well, obviously, this starts with the bill that's in the House working its way to the Senate to be approved. You know, much like every other dictatorship, they take away the right to have a free speech. And then the platforms for that free speech are taken away. And so obviously, who does that affect? That affects guys like us. The Sean Hannity's, Tucker Carlson's, the Glenn Beck's. You know, the usual host of people that are on the top echelon of the conservative media and then working their way down to where there's lowly me. And we are all within this accordion effect now of policy, of targeting by the government. And I do want to say by parts of the government, not all the government, because if all the government came down on us, we would not be here, period. So it's parts of the government through the DOJ and through the Biden administration who is doing this. If we don't regain the House and the Senate, it will be all the government that is going to be coming down on us. But it's because we're a threat. Obviously, we're a threat we're a threat to everything that they stand against. And we stand for Christian fundamentalism. We stand for patriotism, conservative values. We stand for the Constitution. We stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, damn it. So, everything that we are and that we represent is motivation for what they consider to be more than half of this country to be terrorists. But we are motivation for them to keep going. And we're another source of information, unlike controlled opposition Fox News. So that's why they linger out to us now. And us, I mean, alternate media. So that's where I see it. I think the threat of alternate media, that's why they're about to destroy Alex Jones and InfoWars. I think the real threat is alternate media, the message that we can get out there. We're not scripted. Nobody writes scripts for me and Dave. Me and Dave literally, we'll come on and before show, and we'll talk for about 5 minutes about what we decide to talk about for the day, or sometimes we'll discuss for the entire freaking day for 4 or 5 hours as topics are developing throughout the day. So, this is true media. This isn't controlled opposition. No one here pays us to not say something, and which is the reason why we get shadow banned.
Yeah, I could be making a lot more money than we are here, because this is about a break-even proposition. This TV endeavor we do is about paying the bandwidth. It's where we do our heavy lifting. We wanted to make this available as free to everybody as we could. You brought something up here, and I'll just say this. The JCPA will be the silencing mechanism, and many of the rhinos are surfacing. Ted Cruz and John Kennedy support this bill to silence us. The bill's out of committee. Tom Cotton, Hallie oppose it. They have spoken out against it directly. But this is the silencing mechanism. And I want to say something, too, to lead into where we're going. To incarcerate us in FEMA camps, and they won't be FEMA camps. They'll be run by HHS, the UN. They'll be medical camps. And some are already in existence. I covered this in Washington State two and a half years ago. But Doug, what we know is they needed a pretext. The pretext is insurrection. The insurrection was January 6th. And I want to take just a minute to talk about a briefing that Marjorie Taylor Greene and Congressman Gates did. And they played the Ray Epps stuff that we all know. They come into the Capitol. We're going into the Capitol tomorrow. And the people saw it throwing. They called him Fed. And we have him on tape a few times saying this. But what Gates and Greene played was other people giving direction. One guy was wire cutting on the fence. They have their facial recognition. The FBI could get them with their cell phone pings. They could get them on facial recognition like they did all these other people they're holding without trial. But they're not doing it because they were part of the operation. There was a twofold purpose to this operation now that surfaced. And I did not know this until recently. Gates and Green and other Republican representatives were going to challenge the certification vote. And Green and Gates were assigned to Michigan. And there were others that were assigned to the other five states. And they were going to do their presentation in Congress. But when the riot happened, those activities got suspended. So there was a twofold purpose for the FBI, Christopher Wray, and these people to conduct a false flag insurrection on the Capitol. And that they wanted to do was very quickly give the moral high ground to the Democrats. They almost overthrew the government. We got to take really strong action. Insurrectionists belong in prison. And that's what they did. And that's what they're going to continue to do. They've been able to categorize us as anti-democratic. Election is going to be a crime. You're not going to be able to say it any longer. They've got the labels in place. And this was the purpose of the January 6th, was to block the challenge to the election and to set the tone for future persecution to go into camps. Now, the camps are going to be very specific. I've covered some of this with Celeste, but this is now 2.5 years later. So, Doug, let's launch into this. What do you know?
Well, I think one of the next intel reports we need to do, we probably should have Celeste on with us. Being the fact
I can't find her. Listen to me. Celeste is on the run. Celeste responds to me all the time within 24 hours, Doug. I haven't been, I knew she was going to move. She was getting persecuted big time. And I knew she was going to move, but I can't contact her. We'll try. Yeah, but I just thought I'd bring that out. But yeah, okay. So if we get Celeste, you want her on to go through the HHS EFS 8 through 14, correct?
Yeah. So, you know, she handled the administrative side and vice versa. I handled the security side. So with that HHS document, I think it's section 8. That's when it starts to talk about all the law enforcement attachés that are there. And obviously DHS were in that. Originally, this started off for when we started to get the border crisis. And then we also had COVID hitting. And so they were designating all the different law enforcement agencies who could then take a excess amount of guys and send them out to these camps. They whatever you want to call them, we kind of called them camps. But we would go out there and we would more or less just stand guard over these people because it was the cheapest and quickest way to do it before you could get a professional security guard force out there that is hired throughout from us. Yeah, so as you can see on the screen, it is what we call...
Yeah, I want to bring this up, yeah.
It is a cluster.
Go ahead.
And the amount, I'll tell you the amount of tax dollars that are wasted here for this. So the amount of rapes, assaults, sexual assaults, molestations, fights that would occur in these places, especially when it's mixed people, female and male, man, was incredible. But you know what we couldn't do? We couldn't investigate anything. We almost couldn't even stop anything. They told our guys to be on the exterior perimeter of the building, wherever this would be. And there's dozens and dozens of them across the southwest border. And so we would stand on the exterior perimeter. And literally we were told that if one of the illegals gets out and they run, you are not to even chase them. You are not to intervene in any kind of any way. They'll let the locals do it, which we were always like, well, if, then why the hell are we here if that's what you want us to do? So it never made sense. But I think optics is the reason why they didn't want it to make sense. But you can bet your last dollar that if they start to put political prisoners in there, well, a political prisoner, Dave, is someone who's a radical, a threat, someone who could be on a terrorist watch list. And they will tackle you and arrest you if you try to run out of there. You know, I see it. It's a very different thing. It was a easy way. If you want me to put this in plain terms, the forced migration that pushed all the people into the country was the way to get the financial burden in the legal documents wrote. So they found all the funding to build all the facilities, and then they wrote all the legalities for all the agencies to work at the facility. And, you know, I mean, they could really care less about the illegals. Obviously, you see now they just, you know, shoo them through the border. I think it was built for us personally.
Yeah, I agree with you. At one time when they had the 20, oh gosh, the last migration, 2015, 2016, they had the centers that started EFS right here. I've labeled the document. I covered this on my own. Celeste came on and expanded it to 14. So EFS number 8, this is HHS, yep. The UN. Did you hear what I said, folks? The UN. Now, here's something I mentioned to Doug before we went on. This is supposedly going to be health quarantine camps for the safety of yourself and for the general public. So I just want you to look through here, okay? Support agencies. I'm going to read them to you, and then I'm going to ask you a quiz question, so pay attention. Department of Agriculture, Commerce, Defense, Energy, DHS, Interior, Justice, Labor, State, Transportation, Veteran Affairs, EPA, General Services Administration, Post Office, American Red Cross. What's missing? Ladies and gentlemen, what's missing? If you said any form of medical treatment, you would be correct. Yet they're quarantining you for medical reasons. Well, how can they quarantine you for medical reasons if they don't have anyone there to take care of you?
Well,
it's not medical.
They're imprisoning you.
Exactly.
That is what would be actually happening.
And this is solidified in your state. In state, I did research on this, Doug. ARS, it's Arizona Revised Statutes, Title 36, isolation and quarantine, state of emergency or state of war emergency. And it paralleled what I just talked about. This is the state version of the federal action. So, and I covered what date that I published. I've covered this numerous times. This was March 30th, 31. So anyway, let me click this off. Okay. Doug, I just thought it was important to show people we have documentation for what we're saying.
Yeah, I think this is very reminiscent. And once again, I'll go back into history. Nazi Germany did this. Stalin did this. Mao did it. You know, they took anyone that was a political dissenter. That means if you don't agree with the agenda, and they would demonize them, castigate them. They would liquidate all their assets. They would destroy their businesses. They would put them in open lawsuit in courts. More or less, and just describe them as heretics, and then they would throw them into these camps if they didn't kill them. And that was common. And you know who complained about it around the world? That many countries complained about it. When all the Jews were being persecuted, Britain was having to deal with it. And Britain, Winston Churchill, reached out to America and said, hey, you're going to get involved in this war. Look at what Germany's doing. And you know what we said? Britain, you can go pound sand. We have no problem with Adolf Hitler. And we stayed out of that. They're our greatest generation. It took the literal atrocities of Pearl Harbor for us to get involved, right? But what will take us, what would take the rest of the world to get involved with rescuing the Uyghur Muslims from China?
I don't think anything. I think people will act on their own self-defense.
Yeah, they've been doing this for 20 years or more. Nobody cares. So, you know, I think the heart in the governments around the world to want to do good and to be, you know, the Axis versus the Allies, I think that's done with. I don't think that compassion's there anymore. I mean, you want to hear real compassion? I'll tell you real compassion. We're about to send $725 million more dollars worth of weapons to Ukraine. $725 million more dollars worth of weapons to Ukraine. Dave, the day we get into an actual scuffle with somebody and they decide to invade, guess how many billions of dollars worth of weaponry we won't have?
And not to mention the $85 billion we purposely left behind in Afghanistan.
Absolutely.
This is intentional. This is intentional. Biden is demilitarizing the United States, and part of the disguise is Ukraine. Some of it was Afghanistan. He doesn't want us to be able to defend ourselves. He wants us conquered because China owns him.
Do you think a trucker friend of mine and I were discussing this? Do you think the possibility that we're dragging out all of our forces around the world and not keeping the majority of them in the United States is to have them pulled out of the mainland for when prophecy hits the fan? They won't be here. they'll be isolated.
Are you talking Red Dawn?
I mean, that could happen too. But there'll be no internal defense force besides what's here.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Red Dawn, or Chinese or Russians, or a domestic persecution of the people that the military may not stay compliant with.
Well, yeah, because that'll be their family, their loved ones. You know, I would like to say that the majority of the military is conservative, but I really can't tell you that anymore. But I can't say this much, conservative or not, your family will be a part of it. The persecution.
That's the equalizer, Doug. They may be liberal. They may wear purple hair and be transgender in those foxholes. But at the end of the day, they're going to protect their families. At least I think they would.
I think they would. I think they would. I think people will drop the gender equality crap, you know, to rush home and protect mom and dad. At least you would think so, right? But, you know, here's the other thing. Prophetically, people are hardening their hearts towards one another. People have become hard-faced, as the Bible would say, stiff-necked. And there is a loss for brotherly love. People call good evil and evil good. We say that all the time. But there is truly a compassion out there to show how much they love evil. I've never in my life have I seen so many. Every day there's a new story about a tranny dancing on top of a six-year-old and the parents clapping. You know, I mean, could you imagine the greatest generation coming back home from having to fight the Nazis and the Japanese Empire to that? What do you think they'd do? They'd be bayoneting people on the streets. Now you get a clap. You know, you could be a 70-year-old man and pretend you're a 6-year-old girl now, and everybody claps and says you're so brave. I think America has been set up. We're going to take the fall. I don't see a good way out of this. I really don't. And I use historical comparisons for this. Greece, Rome, the Roman Empire kind of died around the same way. You know, I think the folly of man is going to catch up, and God is going to supremely ruin our winning streak.
This is what you're talking about yesterday. I ran this yesterday. This is going on in Encinitas. They sent this out to families of elementary school kids. Look at this.
These two guys should have, I know this is a friendly show, they should have the hell beat out of them, drug out into the street and caned. What should happen to them. Because you know what? That's what would happen to them in China. That's what they do to people like that in China.
I want you to see what they got right here. It's called Boob Bash, Encinitas, California. Okay, coming up here. The queerest free Halloween. Okay, and they sent this to families, and they're inviting the kids to see these people here. And this lady here, I don't know if you'll be able to hear this. Tell me if you can hear it. Can you hear that?
No.
Okay. Well, she's on there, and she's talking about these guys twerking and that the sponsors of this event are a transgender surgery place and a transgender bar. And this mom was outraged. She better watch it, because Garland will kick in her door. These are the school board members who are responsible for this tragedy. I published their names, their emails, gave them a notice, sent this to them, and I asked them to come on. And I said, come on, tell your story. I'll retract everything I've said if it's not true. This is what you're talking about, Doug. This is so disgusting. It's not just about putting us in camps. It's about enslaving our kids. This lady that you saw on the tape, you couldn't hear her voice. She was accusing the school board grooming children, which they are.
Oh, that,
in my opinion,
that will make her that will make her a violent terrorist in the eyes of this government. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you what will happen. Will happen is the adults will go to the camps. The kids will go to the foster homes, and the kids will be raised by this, reprobate nation, this reprobate government, and they will destroy your kids and you'll never see them again. And when you do, they won't be your kids anymore.
If you are a parent in Virginia, if this bill passes, this bill's out there. If this bill passes, it says that if you as a parent do anything to interfere with the transgender conversion of your child, kids will be taken from you and you will go to jail. That's actually a bill in the Virginia legislature. So, camps for parents, camps for kids, disguised medical camps for political dissenters. Is that about summing up?
Every nation in history that has become overly sexualized, or what we would call progressive in their politics, over-sexualization as well, self-indulgence becoming more important than self-sustainment, has all died. Every single empire, from the Chinese to the Japanese, from the Middle East to the Ottoman Empire, to the Roman Empire, one and two, every empire, every of the Aztecs, the Incas, the Mayas, every single empire that has ever been that started down the path of over-sexualization, they started to sacrifice children, have all died. And we see the remnants now when we go on tours. That will be America.
We're going to come back and we're going to do several installments on this topic this week. This is too broad for us to cover all the things. You're absolutely right, Doug. Before we close, what I want to do here is we need to talk to the people. We present ourselves in this forum as potential problem solvers. We like to say, you know, what's coming is no longer coming. It's already here.
That's right.
And our people can help you deal with some of what's going on. We don't have all the answers, but what would you advise? Let me start. I'll give my first advice and you follow. With regard to the grooming of children, where parents will go to camps for interfering in transgender conversion and so forth, my answer is you just don't let the kids in the public schools. You homeschool them. You limit their media contact. Mm-hmm. It's the first response. What would you say?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I fought my own family for a while about why my kids are not in public school. Besides the fact that I've been a cop for so long, I had this experience of dealing with deranged little kids in school who are overly sexualized. Rape is like super big in school. So I just told myself, like, you know what? I'm not going to subject my kids to that. My wife and I discussed the options. We went with a group called Abeka. It's a Christian academy. It's recognized nationwide. Super easy. Costs like $600, I think, twice a year, maybe. And, try and put a kid through private school, because that's one of the things I was looking at, was private school. And I just couldn't afford putting four kids through private school, because each semester is like $8,000 or $9,000. And that was at a very small private school. The one down the street would have been $30,000 a semester. So obviously my budget doesn't allow for that. So we went homeschool, and I teach the history. We just did a science class the other night where we were making soap with the kids, and just letting the kids be kids. And this is the greatest thing about it. I control what they teach, or I control the teaching. Me and my wife have full content. We control the dialogue. We test them at their grading levels, but it's not every week is a peer pressuring test where you got to cheat. You know, this is all just, it's all just progressive learning, continuous learning. And it's very easy on them. Our kids are extremely intelligent and bright eyed for it. And you got to think, school is meant for mom and dad to go to work. Government function school, your public school back in World War II was originally created so mom could get out into the industry and help out with the war industry. So they needed a public school system.
Before that, though, Doug, go before that. You're right. But originally, when public schools came in under Rockefeller and Carnegie, they needed to educate an immigrant workforce, and they wanted them to have a sixth grade education. They wanted them to be smart enough to do their job, but not smart enough to question authority.
Absolutely.
And we're going 1880s, 1890s. And then you're right. Later on, absolutely correct in what you're saying. So, yeah, that's it. Listen, there are public schools out there. Most of them are in rural areas. It's God, family, faith, freedom, the whole thing. And you're fine leaving your kids there. But if you're in a blue city, you're in a metropolitan area, the chances are your kids are getting some very, very negative influences you don't want. And I'm going to tell you this, too. The same thing goes for sending adults off to liberal schools. You know, Paul Martin, the late Paul Martin, I used to talk about people he knew that sent their kids off to Carl State University in Fort Collins, the what is called the jewel of the Italy Agenda 21 empire. And he said they'd get kids back in 4 years they didn't even know. Kids that hated the parents' lifestyle, their capitalism, their success. And you got to be careful, folks, because I agree with Doug in what I'm saying, too. 90% of the public schools should be closed.
Yeah, well, I mean, and just remember, you may be in a decent area, but the radicalization of teachers is through the freaking roof. Just scan Twitter and all these other stupid websites, and you can see all these maddened leftist teachers, which are mainly women, mainly white women, who have lost their freaking mind. And you know, they're convincing little boys to act like girls. They're dressing them up whenever the parents aren't there. You have certain schools that are saying, "Hey, we'll actually provide you with the gender transitioning therapy, and you don't even have to get permission from your family," which, by the way, there is no gender transitioning therapy. It's called poison. They're poisoning your children. So, you know, avoid that and actually vet the school. And if you have to move, if you have to quit your job for the sake of your children, it's worth it. It's worth it. I know I quit a six-figure job that was probably one of the best jobs you could have in the country to do what I'm doing now. And I thank God every day that he pushed me to do this, because now I get to finally be involved in my kids' lives. Where for the last 10 years, I've been deploying, you know, at least 6 to 7 months, sometimes 8 months out of the year. And now I'm finally home, and I see, and my wife sees the difference that that makes with my kids. Yeah. And I'm telling you, it takes two parents to raise those kids the right way. You know, if you're a single income, single family, I get that. But if you got two parents, it takes two parents to do it. That way mom and dad can both relieve each other. And I'm telling you, there's nothing quite like it. I say go back to the farm life. That's just me. I tell people to get the hell out of the cities, get the hell out of the suburbs, do your best to get rural, do your best to get just a couple acres and some freaking chickens and start off there.
That's why they want to wreck the farms and the crops and get you on bugs.
They don't want you to live the way I do. They don't want you to grow your own food. They don't want you to be successful in doing it either. They want you to rely upon them. They want you to depend upon them. Oh, by the way, hey, almost 100 food processing factories in 2 years have been destroyed. Have they rebuilt any of them yet? No. No.
Well, why isn't anybody asking that question, Doug?
Doug, why isn't anybody asking that question? Why aren't the plants being rebuilt? And more importantly, what happened to them in the first place?
Because Kim Kardashian has a new boyfriend. Because the Ukrainians are dying in the billions every day, according to Joe Biden. People are lackadaisical. I'm not going to say this to try and step on anybody's toes, but that's what I do, is I step on people's toes. People are lackadaisical. People are complacent. People are lazy. People don't want their daily, stupid, boring life to be interrupted. I got my Bud Light, my Pizza Hut, and I got my NFL. I don't want to be disturbed on a Friday night or Saturday night or Sunday, right? That is America's lives now. However, if you turned off the damn TV, got out of your cell phone, and went for a walk in the woods, you'd realize there's quite a lot to life. And there's quite a lot of learning that you still need. But people are so taken back by technology, which is your everyday scheduled programming, because they're programming you. Everybody's so used to putting their asses in their seats and not getting up and thinking for themselves, that when this real calamity hits, when the real tragedy strikes, Dave, less than 1% of 1% of Americans have combat training and medical training. And then 1% join the military and have some semblance of order and discipline. And then maybe about 2% join law enforcement, who have a little bit of experience with combat, with medical, and with discipline. And then 3% of America owns guns, kind of uses them, kind of trains, and is kind of prepared. And then about, let's just say, 95% of America are, you're dead. You're on your own. You're screwed. You're screwed. Half of you don't know how to sharpen. Half the people in America don't know how to sharpen a pencil. Have you ever watched these people on the street, and they'll go up and they'll randomly question people? How many months are there in a year? How many continents are there in America? And they'll be like, oh, I think there's like 30 of them. Great. Good job. 30 continents in America. Yeah. People are stupid in America. And we get laughed at by other countries. Other countries laugh at us all the time. As an academic, the smartest kids around the world do not come from America. Our rating is always like in the low teens and 20s. It's because we don't
teach. IQ has gone, our IQ has gone down 5 points collectively as a nation. That's significant. That's outside the margin there. Okay, let's shift to the last thing here. Okay, get your kids out of the schools. What about avoiding the camps? Do you have any advice there?
So I used to be a part of that.
Go ahead.
I used to be a part of this world, remember? And what I will tell you is that the government, and this is all hypothetical, people, okay? So FBI, put down your pencils. The government is going to have a hell of a time to accomplish that goal. A hell of a time to accomplish that goal, because even though there may be a very small percentage of people that are ready for that, there will be an even larger group of people who are going to turn to that small percentage, and then they will be motivated, and they will be trained, and they will take after and do the likewise and resist. And I believe that the government is going to see such resistance upon a scale that they cannot comprehend, that they'll be forced to abandon that, and they'll have to turn to something worse. And then you'll walk into that camp freely, wanting food, wanting shelter, wanting medical, because that's how I would have done it.
Yeah, let me talk about something. I'm glad you brought this up. In 2011, there was an exercise in Denver called Operation Mountain Guardian, and it was a multifaceted organization operation run by FEMA, DHS, local authorities, And first of all, there was the upper echelon aspect. Obama and several top dignitaries flew into DIA. They shut DIA down for 3 days. These people allegedly went underground, lived in the tunnels, probably showing them what could happen in event of a nuclear war. Well, that's speculation, but they disappeared after they came into DIA. On one day, fish began to go around to elementary schools in Denver and selectively started to take kids to where the Broncos played football at the time, called Sports Authority Field, an NFL football team. And the school officials should never have released them without parental permission. There actually have been a couple of lawsuits over this. So they had hired crisis actors. Aaron Dykes, who was with InfoWars at the time, was there, and he did a great interview with the crisis. He goes, yeah, I'm supposed to act like an outraged parent. They got my kid. You had no right to take my kid. And the lesson of this was, we can draw the parents in by taking kids and we can hold them in the camps. And that was the overall deal that they had. And they didn't need the crisis actors by about 1 p.m. because as Mary Jane showed up to get her son to go to their dentist appointment, what do you mean they took my kid to Sports Authority Field? What the hell are you talking about? And there was parents that did onrush at the facility. It was ugly. And this kind of blew up in their face. And I actually talked to people who were part of the operation. Actually, my sister's next door neighbor was part of the operation. And I had long conversations with her about this. She goes, this was insane. And I said, what do you think the goal was? She goes, I'll tell you what my doctors tell me. To draw people in that were politically dissident, and they decide who gets to leave and who gets to stay, and they use the kids as the bait. Another reason not to have your kids in the public schools. And so at that time, they also had these bus evacuation drills, Doug. I'm sure you're familiar with them. And these kids would get on buses, and they wouldn't go anywhere. And also at the same time, they had documentation that DHS put out, and I have published this, they wanted to know who on school staffs could build fences, barb wire, do electrical repair, could cook. And I said, oh my God, they're preparing to use schools as possible FEMA camps. And that combined with these bus evacuation drills, and this was right after Operation Mountain Guardian in Denver, I actually had to take my son. And I said, I don't care what you got to do, son. You do not get on a bus. You're going nowhere. And we came really close to taking him out of school. But I said, what would you do? He goes, I'll go in the bathroom, put my feet up on there. And he goes, I'll call you on the cell phone, like you said, and we'll go to our prearranged meeting point. Doug, this happened in 2012. That part of it. More reasons to get your kids out of these metropolitan school districts. You got any comment on that, Doug?
I think one of the other things that we forget is that I could easily see the UN playing a card in that.
That's the HHS ESF that we just talked about.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're part of that operation.
When there's not other agencies who will partake, then in steps the UN. Once again, none of this is going to happen while the lights are on. I just don't believe it. I think if you want, you know, fix bayonets and charge into the riot line, try and take people's kids from them. But you, once again, and I always lean back to this, and once again, people understand, I did a little bit of work around this, and a lot of research into it and a lot of preparation to it on the government side. And we have no solid answer from the president down to the janitor what in the hell we're going to do when the power goes out. We have a few contingencies, but they're all reliant upon fossil fuels. So
there's another contingency, though. It's It's called continuity of government because if something is in disarray, food riots, whatever it would be, the plan is to encircle the cities and no one in, no one out. That's the only contingency I'm aware of.
So continuity of government is, and I've been a part of this live a couple times. That's when, let's say, there's a problem to a government agency installation and they need to move the workforce to another installation, which could be a military base. It could be a courtroom, wherever it is that they need to be at. And they'll move them over there and then they'll be able to have either full service or partial service. So that's kind of continuity of government. And now with everything going to digital online, that kind of continuity of government really only matters for a few different people. Law enforcement doesn't have continuity of government because we're always going to be out. So who does it actually affect?
Aren't they going to encircle the city so the crap doesn't spread?
That is an army protocol.
Yeah, exactly.
That is a military tactic for siege warfare. And originally, I think they drew it up. It was three different army divisions that were planning on how to encircle New York City, and cut it off by all the bridges and isolate the city. And that was more or less, I think, for a plague. And take that plague, riot, politics, nuclear attack. It doesn't matter whatever the real scenario is. They have the plans for it and they've practiced it. They have the funding for it. But let me ask you this much. We're getting very, very close to World War III. We're getting very close to gas being unaffordable. I drive a diesel, and diesel is now back up to over $5 a gallon. So woe is me. But when it starts to get to the point where the big rigs aren't running, the trains aren't running because they can't find an agreement and they keep on striking. And then businesses start going out of business because the economy is failing. We have this wacky agreement in our government to quasi harass people and then to full on go commissar against people. How much longer do you think America has before we completely implode? You know, philosophically, I would tell you that we are on the we are beyond the brink. We're beyond the cusp. We are circling the drain of a full-on internal conflict. So FEMA camps will be localized. FEMA camps will not be on the national scale. They'll be localized.
That's why I read that state regulation from Arizona.
Yeah. Yeah, they're probably.
But look, I want to go back to something. I want to go back to something you said, though. I don't want to skip this. The containment of cities was not dead in 1985, and this is about a month after I'd moved to Phoenix, and they had they shut down the complete city on a Saturday, and I live near what was called Union Hills Road and I-17. And there were military jeeps blocking off and on ramps and soldiers up on the overpass. I saw this with my own eyes. It was announced in the media. They said, you're not going anywhere this weekend, blah, blah, blah. And we understood this to also be going in other select cities, but I couldn't tell you who they were. So I have seen it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that we haven't trained for it before. It's not like we don't have the contingencies and plans for it. I think it just, once again, these things are event driven, right? This is an old thing that I've been saying for a long time. They're event driven. Every new event drives the next event. And in between the events is the narratives that are wrote and discussed in politics and mainstream media that help to drive the next series of events. I'll tell you what I don't take off the table is biological. I bet you we have another bout of COVID.
I agree.
I bet you we have another bout of some sort of rare and extreme COVID that's going to happen. I bet you that'll happen.
Right, so how do people avoid the camps? And I do agree they're going to be locally administered for the most part.
you leave the area. There's no other, there's no other clever way about it. You leave the area. You, if you stay in the nuclear hot zone, you'll melt, right? So get out of the, get out of the hot zone. Do not stay there. There is safety in the hills.
Okay.
There is safety in the mountains. There may not be that much food up there. So don't be going up there thinking, you know, just because you're in a rural area that there's food everywhere, because that's how you get into, you know, squabbles with the locals. But I'm telling you right now, you don't stay, period. You'll eventually be vacuumed up with everyone else.
Yeah, I agree with that. But we're going to continue our analysis because it's ongoing, it's unfolding. And these are the plans the left has. If they're able to consolidate power after this election, you can begin to see us move in this direction pretty quickly. And we did removal of food, but we will cover that later. This is Dave Hodges on behalf of Doug and Dave Intel Report. Thank you so much for joining us. Please spread the word of what you see here because people need to get prepped. Doug, thanks a lot, my friend.
Mountain State Survival covers your basis for your planning, prepping, evacuation, bugging in, or bugging out needs. They carry anything from educational material, camping supplies, emergency services supplies, food, first aid, survival kit and equipment, shooting gear, survival gear, tactical gear. They carry it all. They got it in stock. Give Mountain State Survival a ring. That's mountain-state-survival.com. Get this type of supplies while you still can. 304-517-6935. Mountain State Survival is one of the only places that I know of currently that is still carrying the delicious Peak Refuel meal that is ready to eat. It's personally the only thing that I eat at this point whenever I go out camping, whenever we have any type of emergency or disaster situation. That is the meal that I stick with, and you can find that at mountain-state-survival.com. Use Rekker5 for a 5% discount on your overall purchase. That's Rekker5, mountainstatesurvival.com.
You can find this show on the Heroes Nation app. Heroes Nation is the Heroes Nation app you can download in the App Store. It's up and coming. They got a lot of cool information on there. That is the main backup site so far for the American Vindicta show. We'll also have some stuff on there that won't be on YouTube. It won't be on Rumble. It'll either be only on the GSRadio.net, who is the host of the American Vindicta show, or it will only be an exclusive for Heroes Nation. And with that, I mean, you know, stuff that we're doing with the cave exploration, with the archaeological stuff. I'm going to start getting into a lot of paranormal talks and, you know, coming at that from my law enforcement and Christian perspective, and be having guests on, and that will be exclusive to Heroes Nation. So make sure that you give them some love. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, everybody, for supporting me. God bless you. And have a good day.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.